I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out today, but this is a special edition show. We've got two good priests that I have been friends with for years, Father Frank Pavone and Father Charles Murr. They're both on fire for saving souls and also for saving babies. Father, I can see Father Frank Pavone. Father Frank, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Nice to be back. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank all the YouTube people, which seems like our numbers are going way up, and I'm glad. And people keep asking me, Terry, are you in a church while you're broadcasting? No! That's this day, what they call a green sheet that shows a picture of our chapel. So it's not really, I'm not really in there, but I want people to know, and I'll tell you why. Tomorrow, like the last four Saturdays, we have had confessions going on where 200 people show up every Saturday. I have several priests hearing confessions. If you're in Southern California, you know that in California, all the churches are closed. Well, we kind of are making an exception by practicing social distancing, but we're able to get people to go to confession. And last week, again, it was over 200 souls. So come on down. Father Frank, we have a special show. I'm calling this The Unborn Babies Have a Friend in the White House. Okay, and that's President Trump. We've been talking about it for several years now, about what he's doing to help protect unborn babies. Let me see if I've got Father Murr on the line with us. Father Murr, are you with us? Not yet. Okay, so we're going to be talking on that topic and about Norma McCorvey, about her, she being the Roe versus Wade person, and what this movie's coming out to say that she had a last-minute change of thought on her pro-life mind. And I'm going to be asking Father Frank Pavone to talk about that, because he's the one that actually brought her into the church. And I have a document from a lawyer that I'm sure you're familiar with, Father Frank, who named some of the important facts about her, but we're going to get to that in the show. But every single show, I love to start out with the Word of God. Why? Because Catholics need to know God, the love letter that God has given to us. And so we read the gospel of the daily mass for the day, and I think I've got Father Murr. Father Murr, are you with us?
I am with you. However, I don't have the gospel right at hand, Terry.
Well, I'm so sorry, because you read the gospel so much better than myself or any of Jesse, and I was going to have you do that. But Father Frank, I'm going to have Father Frank give a commentary, and also you, Father Murr. So I'll do the reading of it. No, you know what, Father Frank, do you have the gospel in front of you for today's reading?
For today, yeah. Yes.
I'm a layman. You know what? I know my place, okay? And if there's a priest or a bishop, I've had two bishops this week on our show. Father, we've had, Bishop McCarrick. No, we've had, who's in, I can't think of his name now. It's in Texas, Tyler, Texas. Father.
Bishop Strickland.
We had Bishop Strickland on, and then we had a Melkite, Maronite, right, Bishop Mansour on. We had Scott Hahn on, and now we have two holy priests who are inspiring us with the Word of God. All right, so Father Frank Pavone, could you read from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, 20-23?
Okay, gladly. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. Mm. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. On that day, you will not question me about anything. Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Father Frank, how about if you give us your take, and then Father Murr, I just love this comment. I'll just give you my take. No one will take your joy away from you. I just love that,
yes.
Father. But go ahead, give us your take.
Well, you know, I'm just always struck by this. You know, he talks about your grief will become joy.
Yeah.
He's not simply saying that you will grieve for a time, and then a time will come when you will rejoice. It's deeper than that. He's saying the grief itself will become joy. That, of course, is what we see when we call the day that God was crucified and killed.
Yes.
We call it good.
That's right, Good Friday.
Because the very same cause of the grief for those disciples, namely that Christ was taken from them, scourged, crucified, killed, the very same cause of the grief now becomes the cause of the joy, because they realize that accomplished our salvation. It was our sins that were nailed to the cross. Our death itself died. He saved us. Yes. So your grief will become joy. That's why, you know, I often think if somebody knew absolutely nothing about Jesus or Christianity or the gospel, and they came into a room and they saw us bowing before and kissing the image of a man nailed to a cross, they would think we're nuts. They say, why is that? How is that good? How is that something that you're taking joy in? We wear it, we wear it, we kiss it, we venerate it. Your grief will become joy. I glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well said, Father Frank. Wow, Father Murr, I just love when I get good priests who give good commentary on Scripture. Father Murr, what about you? What, you have anything on that gospel you'd like to share?
Father Pavone, in first place, good morning.
Yes, that's right.
Hello, Father.
Two New Yorkers. Yeah, two New Yorkers.
Now listen, but I want, now Father Pavone, I want you to see what kind of a character this Terry Barber is. He lets the best, most erudite, most spiritual man go first, and then he asks me for my opinion.
That's
Are
right.
you kidding? How can I follow that?
Yeah.
Beautifully, beautifully put, everything you did.
Yeah.
I would just add this. I would just add one line. Good things come to them who wait. Right?
Yes.
And those who walk with God while they're waiting.
Well said.
But Father Pavone, you said it beautifully. That's why Good Friday is good.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
And you know, Bishop Sheen has something to say that I took a quote that I think fits right into this gospel also. So if we could bring that locomotive train into the studio. Full Sheen ahead. Here's what Bishop Sheen said, fathers, about eternity. God says to us, if you give me your time, I will give you my eternity. And I think of that because so many people, this is just my take, and maybe I'm wrong, but there's a reason why people don't give themselves to Jesus. And the reason is they don't really think at this point in their life that God can take care of all their needs. Now, that's just my take from experience of working with souls. And I think that it's important to tell everyone listening right now, they're wrong, that if you give yourself to Christ, he will give you the grace to be with him for all eternity. That's my take on Sheen. You guys want to comment on that?
I'll jump in with one extra thought on Sheen.
Yeah.
I remember he gave a talk, and it was a Good Friday.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful message of his in New York City.
Yeah.
And he said, and when you leave this place, this cathedral, St. Agnes Church, wherever it was, he said, remember, even in this city, it's proclaimed that today is Good Friday and that there's hope. He said, every once in a while, you see that sign, TGIF.
Yes.
Remember those restaurants?
Oh, yeah, they're out right? they're in TGIF. California.
Sure. He said, thank God it's Friday.
Yep. Amen, Father. Yep. Father Murr. Well, Father Murr, Father Frank Pavone, I'm asking you to come on because there's a new movie coming out trying to proclaim that Norma McCorvey wasn't really pro-life. And I want to address that, but I want to go even further in our show than pointing out that, you know, she's pro-life, because I want to give people action items all the time on how they can be involved in the pro-life movement to protect the unborn babies by the way they act, by the way they vote, and by giving them resources so that they can defend life in their lifetime, because so many people need to know how to do it and what to say and how to stand up for life inside and outside of this world that we're living in. So when we come back, I want to talk about this with Father Frank and Father Murr. I also want to recommend to people that June 13th is coming up pretty quick. Jess Romero, there's going to be a men's conference. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on our app. It'll be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, the image you see on the YouTube. It'll be here with Ruben Nava and Tim Gordon. So if you want to join us on that, go to the Virgin Most Powerful website. Also, our good friend Steve Ray, he's taking you to the Holy Land, but you don't have to go on a plane. You know what he's going to do? A virtual pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and that'll be on the 20th of June. We got more coming after that, but for this month of June, it'll be an active month. If you want to come, just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And then again, I want to recommend those here in Southern California. We've had people drive 5 hours to come to confession. Well, we've got a couple good priests, some Norbertines, some Anglican Ordinariate priests here. They're going to hear confessions starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow to 4 p.m. or whenever the last person is done. And I want to encourage you to come. Some people have driven 5-6 hours to come because right now most of the churches in Southern California are closed. So I want to encourage you to meet the merciful face of Christ like I'm going to. I'm going to confession tomorrow. I'm getting in there early, man. So why do I say that to you? Because if it's been a long time and I've already been told by people that they hadn't been to confession in 20 years and they went last Saturday, or a daughter that said, my daughter went after 12 years. She's all fired up. That's why we do what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful. We want to introduce people to the person of Christ. And I can't think of a better way than get to confession here. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. When we come back, I want to address some issues with Norma McMurray regarding the Roe versus Wade situation and her life as being a pro-life person, and that there's a movie coming out that's portraying it just the opposite. And Father Frank Pavone, Father Murr, will help us unravel all this. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the Church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His Church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. It's Friday, obviously, and Father Frank Pavone and Father Charles Murrer with me, and I have some good news for everyone. Pope Francis adds the Feast of St. Faustina to the Roman calendar. It'll be October 5th. At the same time, I can tell you about a new program that we have on Virgin Most Powerful starting up next Thursday. It'll be on with Father Chris Allar, Father Mike Gately, Father Don Calloway, and many others of the Marian Helpers are going to be talking about divine mercy and explaining that. It's a brand new show. You don't want to miss that. We're talking about Norma McCorvey and the issue about a new movie, a documentary that's coming out. I think it's today, Father. That's my document. Today, Friday, it's coming out. And I want to set the stage, and then Father Frank and Father Charles Murrer, I would like to ask you to, you know, kind of talk a little bit about this, because to set the stage for those who don't know, Norma provided sworn testimony to the Supreme Court and details and efforts to reverse Roe versus Wade. That was one of the things this attorney said. Norma changed her mind from being pro-abortion to being pro-life after working in the abortion industry. The actual reality of a callous disregard for women led her to change her mind on abortion. Another bullet point. Once she became pro-life, Norma fought to the end of her life with all power and effort she could muster to reverse Roe versus Wade, including asking the Supreme Court to hear her case again. McCorvey's arguments in her Rule 60 motion, which was filed, still have not been ruled by the court to this day. And last thing, Norma loved women of Operation Rescue, which I'm a member of back in the 80s, women who have been injured by abortion and who have helped Norma collect testimonies of women injured by abortion. Now, every year, when he had the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, she said she felt grief, sorrow, and burden of another million babies killed in America. Even though she knew she was forgiven, she still felt legally responsible for the deaths. She felt used and abused by the legal system, including her lawyers and the Supreme Court. Father Frank, tell us more about Norma. You actually brought her into the Catholic Church.
Well, yes. Thank you for talking about this. And not only that, I was one of her closest friends for 22 years.
Wow.
I saw every inch of her life and of her journey, her ups and her downs, her joys, her sorrows, her triumphs, her defeats, her uncertainty, her decisions, her pain, her healing. We were together with her. Now, you know Janet Morana, our associate here at Priest for Life.
Yeah.
The three of us, Janet was very close to her as well. The three of us were literally like three close siblings. That's how much we interacted, communicated with each other constantly.
Good.
I can tell you this, no matter what you're going to see on this documentary tonight, Norma's conversion to pro-life was real, it was deep, and it lasted until her death. We communicated with her way more than this guy who came in and did the documentary. We saw her, you know, in the public limelight, behind the scenes. We saw the grief and the pain. And this is one of the many dimensions of her story that people need to keep in mind when they hear about her. She undertook, as do many who were involved in the abortion industry, she worked in abortion facilities. She didn't have an abortion, but she bore, as you just said so well, that burden of millions and millions of aborted babies, tens of millions.
Yeah.
And so she needed the same kind of healing journey that those who actually have abortions need to undertake. Well, we accompanied her on that journey.
Thanks.
And I'll tell you what, we had our colleague, Teresa Burke, who's a psychologist. We had psychiatrists. We had counselors. Wow. We had other clergy besides myself. We had her friends. We had other people who have been through these experiences. All of us ministering to her over a long period of time. You can't fake that.
No.
She was not paid off to convert. Anybody that asserts that.
Yes.
Is maligning the reputation of a very courageous woman, and we knew her. We can say that with absolute certainty.
Let me ask you a question, Father Frank. I read something about a phone call like a minute before she passed. Is that something that you want to share with us?
Well, yes. Like I say, we were in contact almost every day, including in those final months of her life. And I happened to be in Rome the day that she died. Yep. And, Norma and her daughter contacted me several days before and said that she was failing and that it was likely going to be only a few more days. And the very day that she died, I did speak to her on the phone. Janet did too. Mm-hmm. And Norma said to us, please, I know you'll do this, but promise me that you'll continue until the day of victory to fight this evil of abortion.
That's awesome.
And then we went into Mass. Yeah. The only reason we couldn't keep talking with her, it was a Saturday night in Rome time. We went into Mass, and she died right during the consecration of the Mass.
Wow.
Because Mass was finished, her daughter called us back, and she told us when she had passed, and it was right at the consecration. And then I prayed with the family, and the friends over the phone.
What a great story. Father Murr, any comments about this issue right now? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'm absolutely mesmerized to be on the same show with you to begin with, and with Father Frank Pavone. I want to hear what he has to say, because he knows this issue inside and out.
He does.
He's also a man, let me just tell your listeners, your audience, this is a priest who doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk.
Yep.
He absolutely lives what he's talking about, and he can talk about the pain and suffering of other people. You have very little idea, and I know what I'm talking about, the pain and suffering that he's gone through to maintain a live voice in this whole issue. So I want to listen. I want to listen.
All right, Father, and thank you. And I concur with that. I met Father Frank when he was a seminarian in New York.
We go back, don't we?
We go way back, and I'm an old guy. He's younger than I am, I think. I don't know. Maybe we're close in age. But anyhow, I've always enjoyed working with Father Frank Pavone, and that's why I tell people right on the air, support priests for life. I see letters, and Father, we can talk more about the Norma McCorvey thing, but I think you laid it out pretty well. But now what I really want to do is I want to empower our listeners to say we can do something regarding the protection of the unborn through our prayers and our actions. And I want to say this, that those who have had abortions, there's healing for them. And Father Frank, before I forget, I like to do this every single time. If you're listening and you had an abortion 20, 30 years ago, Father Frank, what resources can you give those folks?
We have set up a special website called abortionforgiveness.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person goes there and puts in their zip code, they'll be connected, first of all, with our Rachel's Vineyard retreats. And I'm very, very privileged to serve as the pastoral director for this ministry of Rachel's Vineyard. It's under the umbrella of Priests for Life.
Good.
It's the largest ministry in the whole world for healing after abortion. It's a retreat program. And in fact, Norma herself went through it because it's for grief, whatever way you're experiencing the grief. And it is based on the Word of God, the sacraments, and the good, solid psychological research done by people like Dr. Teresa Burke about abortion as trauma. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is this, for those that may be listening who are in this situation, you are not alone. Your life has not ended with your abortion. There is hope. There are others who understand the pain that you're going through. And we who reject abortion do not reject those who've had abortions. Rather, we embrace you with love and mercy and forgiveness. So if you want to go on one of these Rachel's Vineyard retreats or some other form of healing, sometimes it's as simple as a Bible study that will focus on the themes of how to give that grief to God and ask his forgiveness. There's all kinds of programs and resources. There are group ministries. There's individual counseling. So abortionforgiveness.com will connect you with all those kinds of ministries in the place closest to where you live. But please don't feel rejected. We love you. The church loves you. The pro-life movement loves you. And most importantly, the Lord himself loves you and your child.
Very well said, Father Frank. I named this name of the show called The Unborn Babies Have a Friend in the White House. Now, Jesse Romero, who's normally here, wrote a book that you wrote the introduction on, Catholic Vote for Trump. Now, again, I'm not into politics. I'll be quite frank. I mean, I'm right right versus wrong. That's what we are, right versus wrong, not right versus left. We want to know what the truth is. And if it was someone else that was running, that's our president who's pro-life, I'm going to vote for them, okay? I'm going to support the pro-life candidate. But Father Frank, tell us, because you have had a lot of experience. Like, a lot of people don't believe, I'll be honest with you, I get this a lot. They go, well, this guy in the White House, he's I can't believe he was a playboy. He was this, he was that. Is it really true that he's standing up for the unborn? Because I just still have hesitations on, you know, supporting someone like that because of his background. What do you tell people?
All right. Let's put aside for a moment the person and personality and character of Donald Trump. We'll get back to that in a moment.
Fair enough.
Because I know him. I've spoken to him on a number of occasions. I know him, and I know his close advisors. Mm-hmm. But let's put him aside for a moment as a person. And let's ask the person who's not too sure, you know, about the president's pro-life commitment. Okay, let me ask a few questions.
Sure.
Are you convinced that Vice President Mike Pence is pro-life?
Absolutely.
That Secretary Ben Carson is pro-life? That Secretary Alex Azar at HHS is pro-life? That Kellyanne Conway? And we can go on and on and on with all the people in the administration who are making very important decisions on federal policy from day to day.
Yes.
Plus 200 judges that the president has placed on our federal courts who will serve for their whole lifetime. My question is this: if you believe that any of those people are pro-life, then understand something. They stay in the positions that they are in. Now, with the exception of the judges, they serve for life. But all these other people in the administration, those kinds of pro-life people are going to be in their positions only if President Trump remains in his.
Yes.
Because it's the president that puts these people in place. He has surrounded himself with some of the strongest, smartest, most committed pro-life people in our country. At the Department of HHS, there are friends and colleagues that I've been working with in the pro-life movement for three decades.
Yes.
And now the president put them in the Department of HHS. So if nothing else, his pro-life commitment is reflected in the type of people that he's surrounding himself with. However, listen, even if a person thought, and they shouldn't think, that the president is insincere in his pro-life commitment, but even if they thought he were, or even if in fact he were, let me ask another question. When he signed the order depriving Planned Parenthood of $60 million of American taxpayer money through Title X, was his signature any less valid in its effect if in his heart he was sincere or simply being politically expedient? Well, his signature has the same effect. Planned Parenthood loses $60 million.
Well said, Father. I got to jump in. We're going to take a quick break. And I also want to talk a little bit about the judges and the Supreme Court judges, that are going to be named and how that will affect our unborn babies. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank Pavone, Father Charles Murr are with me. We're talking about trying to protect the unborn babies in our country. Father just gave, I think, a lot of bullet points for us to really mimic when we're talking about the election coming up in November with Donald Trump. And my mom taught me something. She said, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And so all of the people you hang with, and look what Father just demonstrated. But Father, and Father Murr, I have a question regarding what you said about the judges. I realize those judges, 200 judges, and we've already seen some good things out of those judges that are pro-life actions that what Donald Trump has done, President Trump has done, has affected what's going on in the court system for a lot, not just the pro-life things, but pro-family in general. And so I want to understand, I know that 200 judges have been picked. He probably, if he stays another 4 years, maybe he'll have another couple hundred more judges. But even more important than that is that the Supreme Court justices, many of them are getting old. And I suspect, from what everybody tells me, in the next 4 or 5 years, we're probably going to have a couple, maybe one or maybe even two people either die or step down. And so whoever's in the White House is going to make that decision on who's going to replace them. Well, we've already seen what President Trump has done in his first term. And if, in fact, he can continue these next 4 years, what will that do for the unborn babies, Father Frank?
Well, we could have conceivably at the end of a second term of the president, a 7-2 majority on the Supreme Court for pro-life. Now, the two oldest justices are both on the left wing of the court. Justice Ginsburg is 87. Mm-hmm. Justice Breyer is 81. And so, of course, nobody can predict the future. Sure. But, they are the oldest members on the court. So, yes. And what it does for the unborn, you know, when you think about the prospect of reversing Roe v. Wade, even justices on the court who are willing to do that are not going to want to do it by a slim majority. They're going to want to have a solid majority, because when you think about it, if a court passes a 5-4 decision, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a split. That's about as split as the court can get.
Right.
And a 5-4 decision runs the risk of being overturned within a few years.
Sure.
And the court knows, the justices on the court, you know, they're not supposed to be politicians, they're not supposed to be lobbied, etc. But they also keep their finger on the pulse of public opinion and cultural unrest. And they know that a change in abortion policy is a big, volatile issue. The last thing they're going to want is for the court to make one big change and then end up making another big change a few years later. So having more justices on the court that are solidly pro-life is really an essential condition for reversing Roe.
Well said. Father Murr, I just got this notice that this morning on LifeSite News that President Trump wants to get our churches open. Father Murr is in California, like me, where some mm-hmm. churches are not being opened. It seems that President Trump is not just getting it right when it comes to the unborn issue. It seems like he's getting it right when it comes to the houses of worship for people to pray. And also, Father Murray, from what I read, that the 1954 Johnson Amendment, that was President Trump is not implementing that. In other words, churches can now be very vocal when it comes to who they want to support and not be afraid of losing their nonprofit status. So, Father Murr, what are your thoughts on that? President Trump is getting into this issue of opening up the churches, and he's upset at some of the governors who are dragging their feet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be truthful with you, Terry, I don't see one thing that President Trump is doing that I would disagree with.
I'm
really proud of him, and I'm really not into politics.
No, I know you're not.
But,
I know you.
But you know, I think of President Trump, and this may be very naive and archaic of me.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that he's a sort of new Constantine. I really do. I really do.
Wow.
I know that's dangerous to say, but I really do. Because he's got also, look, just what Father Pavone was saying, what Trump has done, the people with whom he's associated with himself and surrounded himself with, all of that, those are actions. But I'll tell you something that I never saw by any other president, was this man standing before Congress, delivering the State of the Union address, and talking boldly,
yes,
pro-life.
Oh yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I know bishops whose knees go weak when the subject is brought up. They don't have that strength that this man had to pronounce what he pronounced. I think we're in good hands, and I pray for the president.
Absolutely.
every day.
Father, you remember that take, Father Frank. You remember when he was addressing Congress for the unborn, and certain people actually gave him a standing ovation, but it seemed like, go ahead, Father, tell us what happened at that time.
I'll tell you something about that speech too.
Yeah.
When the State of the Union was being prepared, of course he has a large staff preparing his remarks, but of course the president approves it line by line. So they gave him the speech in its final phase, and it had, you know, a section mentioning abortion, which, you know, he was fine doing that, as Father said just now. Father, you know, he's fearless in addressing it. But you know what he did?
Tell
he
us.
Took out a pen, and he said, okay, this section here, he says, we need to add a little bit more to it. And on his own initiative, he added with his own hand additional sentences in regard to calling on Congress to protect the unborn. So this man takes initiative.
Wow.
And what it does is it shows us here, too, the proper roles, which he respects, of the different branches of government. The president has been doing everything that the Constitution gives to the office of the president to do, to protect the unborn and to weaken Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry. So he's doing everything the executive branch is capable of doing, but the legislative branch, the Congress, he as the president calls on them. And you notice that's the language. He's calling on them to pass legislation to protect these babies. And he's saying, send the bill to my desk, I will sign it. And so when we come to an election, we say, look, we're electing a president. We've also got to be electing strong pro-life people to both houses of Congress.
Well said. Let me ask you this, Father. And again, I'm not into politics myself. I'm into helping people meet the person of Christ. But I have to say this, that the number one cause that we have to address is pro-life. Our bishops agree with that. Not individual bishops. I understand there's a few, but generally speaking, this is the number one cause. So let me ask you to answer this question. I get it a lot. People come to me and say, are you a one-issue voter? What do you tell people about that, Father?
Which father?
Either one. Father Frank, go ahead. Yep, you're right, friend. Yeah, Father Frank. And then Father Murr, what do you tell them? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, you know, the reality is that many people's involvement in politics is precisely spurred by a single issue. That's how they get motivated.
Yeah.
That's how they get involved. That doesn't mean just because somebody is is focused on a particular issue, that doesn't mean they're unconcerned about other issues. I mean, I love and applaud people who are dedicating themselves completely to, you know, feeding the poor.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm cheering them on 1,000%. And yet I know that that doesn't mean that they're unconcerned about the unborn. You know, that doesn't mean that they're unconcerned about education just because they're doing one thing. So that's one thing. And then, and secondly, you know, there is such a thing as a disqualifying issue. If a candidate came along and said, I support terrorism.
Yeah.
Do you think voters are going to say, well, sir, I disagree with you on terrorism, but what's your health care plan? You know,
of course.
He might have the greatest health care plan in the
right.
world.
Right. Yeah, well said.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, so.
That's a great point. Father Murr. I know that you've been an active priest in New York parishes, and I know that a lot of people come to you for advice because you've been a priest for, I think, 40 years or plus. When people come to you and say to you, I just don't know what to do when it comes to the election, I think I want to just stay out of it. What do you tell people when they say, well, I just don't want to get involved? How do you handle that, Father Frank? Or no, Father Murr.
Well, that sort of goes with your previous question
mm-hmm.
about one issue.
That's right.
You know, when the issue is life.
Yeah.
It's not just like one among many.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to have positions on different issues, you have to be alive.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
This
is fundamental to everything. I don't know how anyone cannot look at the issue of life as fundamental. I just don't know how they do it. I've seen the acrobatics they go through trying to weasel out of things and talk around things.
Yeah.
They always fail because
yeah.
it's fundamental. It's fundamental. Father Pavone and I met years ago at St. Agnes Church
in New York.
In New York. I remember meeting him for the first time. We were in Father Kaz's room.
Oh my God!
The first time we met, he was serious then, and
yeah.
he had not gotten full time into the pro-life movement, but he was serious then in talking to priests
yes.
to motivate them
absolutely
to be pro-life. This man is fantastic. So I really am going to shut up now. I want to hear from him.
Well, let me just give St. Pope Felix III something to say about what both of you have said. And this was in 475 A.D., and it's very applicable for us today. Here's what the Holy Father, St. Pope Felix III, said. Not to oppose error is to approve it, and not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. I use this quote for probably three decades, fathers, and I still think it's so appropriate. It motivates me to stand up for life, to stand up for issues, and not have a sin of omission. And what I call a sin of omission is when you don't defend life. You say, hey, you know what? I'm comfortable. Don't get me involved. I'm having a good time. I don't want to get involved with something that's going to make me uncomfortable. Well, when you meet your Lord, and we all will, last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. Our Lord's going to ask us, what did you do with the gifts that were given to you? And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those gifts, meaning action items of what we all can do to help protect the unborn and support the gospel of life. And I'm going to ask Father Frank to talk about St. John Paul II's gospel of life. We'll be right back.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Pro-life across America, the billboard people. How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I always like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a millionaire. Why? Because I'm on Team Jesus, and I have two good priests with me, Father Frank Pavone and Father Charles Murr. And at the break time, I was saying before, at the end, right before the break, I want to talk a little bit about St. John Paul II's Gospel of Life, because that document, I think it was in the 1980s, maybe I'm wrong, Father, or maybe early 90s. When did that document come out, and what actually was so good about that document regarding the pro-life movements? Go ahead.
This is the 25th anniversary of that document this year. It came out in 95.
95, okay.
You know, it is the church's most comprehensive and authoritative document delving into the right to life, with the primary focus on abortion and euthanasia. But of course, the Pope points out that, when we say we're in favor of life, it's life under every condition, at every stage, and no matter what the attack is that's launched against it. But it was issued out of a desire on the part of all the bishops and the cardinals mm-hmm. at that time. They actually had a few years prior to publication of the encyclical, they had a special consistory. Mm-hmm. Now, usually people think of consistories as, you know, the cardinals come together to elect the Pope, but they can also come together for other reasons. And in this instance, they came together because they recognized the unprecedented and severe threat mm-hmm. that this fundamental right to life faces in our day, especially from abortion. And so they said, look, we've got to strengthen the faithful. We've got to speak a word here. And I work in the, you know, when I do my work in the pro-life movement, I interact with a lot of our brothers and sisters who are pastors in other denominations.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many times they have said to me things like, you know, that document, the Gospel of Life, I love it. I read it. Why? Because it's very biblically grounded. I mean, all the different chapters of that document are rooted in biblical passages, which John Paul then explains and applies to these matters of abortion and other crimes against human life. Well, very important document.
Well said. Father I want to get your input again. I know Father Frank has some resources on his website, but I want to just ask you, as a Catholic priest, it boggles my mind that we still have, you know, almost 50% of the Catholics still not understanding properly in formation their moral obligation to vote pro-life. Tell me a little bit, in just a few minutes, tell me what is it going to take to get the formation back, to get the Catholics to know what is good and what is evil? Because it sounds to me like a lot of Catholics are voting like the general public, which doesn't have any kind of tie-in with revealed truth. So what's it going to take to get us motivated to get our feet back on the ground and vote with a moral conscience?
A very good question. I wish I had a quick answer for it.
Yeah, I wish I did.
I'll tell you what has to be done, and really what we should identify as the problem.
Tell me.
Is a contraceptive mentality.
Amen.
This is what's wrong right from the beginning.
Yeah.
When the two of you were just talking, something triggered in my memory, and I remember sitting. I was trying to remember the first time I had heard the word abortion. Now, I'm 69 years old, going on 70. Okay.
Okay.
But believe me, I think I was 14 or 15 before I ever heard the word abortion.
Yeah.
It just nobody talked about it.
Right.
It just wasn't something that was discussed. But I do remember this. It was brought up in this context. If we have artificial contraception, the pill, if you will,
mm-hmm.
we won't have unwanted people. Everything will be rosy. People will have exactly the number of children they need. Everyone will be educated. Everyone will be fed. Everything is going to be wonderful. That didn't pan out.
No, it didn't. It was a big lie.
No. And we won't have abortion. You see, that was when abortion was. We won't have abortion if we can take care of this right from the beginning with contraception.
Right.
Abortion won't even exist. That's when I first heard about abortion. I said, you're kidding me. People would actually kill their children. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But all of this comes back to a contraceptive mentality that is really, really evil. And it's changing our whole way of seeing everything in life. This is the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with you totally on that. Father Frank, resources on your website. People can give donations to Priests for Life. Give us a little bit of what's on your website so that I can send people to you, please.
Well, thank you, Terry. Yeah, priestsforlife.org is the website. But we also have another domain that goes to the very same place,
mm-hmm.
and it helps to show exactly what our mission is about. And it's simply endabortion.us. Endabortion.us. Now, when you go there, as you say, you know, donating to us is much appreciated because we rely precisely on the kind of people that are listening to us right now. You know, we don't get these big grants like Planned Parenthood gets, these foundations, these billionaires, you know. We rely on all of you, the faithful. So yes, at on our site, you'll see the donate button. But, you know, we also have there, like we were just talking about, the Gospel of Life by John Paul II. So we have a page called gospelofLife.org.
Mm-hmm.
And at gospelofLife.org, you'll find a study guide about that document.
Wow.
You'll find resources to talk to others about the document. For our brother priests, so you'll find resources to put in the bulletin or for preaching and so forth. Then we've got, of course, Terry, as you pointed out earlier, we always want to mention the healing for those that have been through abortion. And so you'll see right there on our site the healing resources I was talking about before, alternatives to abortion, ideas for parishes. You'll see material in Spanish. You'll see political activity. We have a whole political website called prolifevote.com. And much, much more ongoing commentary on pro-life news, my commentary on this whole thing about Norma McCorvey. You'll find everything there. And there's something for everyone. And one of the reasons why we wanted to get that endabortion.us as a website along with Priests for Life is that we want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that this is not just for priests. I mean, for priests, we have a lot of resources, but this is for everyone who wants to help protect these babies and heal this land. So endabortion.us is where you can go, and I hope to connect with you there.
Father Frank, I have always sent people over to your website for the platforms of both parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
Yes.
That to
yes.
me is so, you, tell us, I think you even have it in Spanish the last time I looked.
Yes, it's in Spanish too. And that we have a special domain for that. And here it is,
mm-hmm.
votinginfo.net.
Good.
Votinginfo.net goes directly to this one page, double-sided flyer mm-hmm. that in a neutral way, in a nonpartisan way, indicates just by quoting from the platforms of the Republican and Democrat parties,
right,
where they stand on a wide range of issues. Terry, there's even a letter there from some leading attorneys,
yes,
that explains why this is legally okay for
good
churches to distribute, because, again, it's neutral.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask everybody, to get that copy, make copies of it. You've given permission to make copies, correct, Father, on your website?
Oh, yes.
So,
absolutely.
So ask your pastor if you could do this and get this into the hands of people, because November's coming up pretty quick, Father Frank Pavone. And this is going to be very important for people to have the facts in their hands. And I believe that you can carry those in your car wherever you're at, because I've found both fathers, that people are shocked when I tell them that one party believes this and one party believes that. And they're like, are you kidding me? But it's because the facts haven't been given to them. That's why I really think your website is a great resource for that. Last thing I want to ask, Father, Father Charles Murr, I also want to get blessings, because I know our listeners want the graces to be able to be faithful stewards with the gifts they've been given. So I would like to ask Father Murr, if you could please give us a blessing, a priestly blessing, and then I'll ask Father Frank to do so. We're getting two blessings in one day, but that's okay. We'll take it. So, Father, could you do that for us, Father Charles?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just one real quick last
sure
thing, Terry.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
I know Father Pavone, and I know myself, and I know a lot of priests. I've never heard of one priest losing patience with anyone coming to confession with the sin of abortion.
Right.
And I would invite people, men and women, let's not forget men in this.
That's
okay?
Right. Well said.
Who have this sin and are carrying it around, please get to confession. Please get to confession. Nobody's going to scream at you. Nobody's going to lose patience with you. Nobody's going to be cross. No one. We only want you back in the good graces of God. That's all.
Amen. Well
and
said.
To live good lives, okay?
Thanks be to God.
That's an invitation.
You got
it. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain forever.
Amen. Amen. Father Frank.
Okay, well, thank you, Terry. And Father, it's so good to be with you. God bless you. Thank you for being a brother priest. And we pray for all our brother priests. In fact, as I give this blessing too, we pray for all of them that they'll be safe and that they'll be strong in proclaiming the gospel of life. And so may the Lord bless each and every one of you and strengthen and protect you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And I want to tell both of you priests that last night, every Thursday night, the chapel here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, where we have the Blessed Sacrament, for years, we spend 2 hours on our knees praying for priests, bishops, and the Holy Father as part of our spirituality, because Thursday nights are the day that you commemorate not just the Holy Eucharist, but the priesthood. So we, as a spirituality here at Virgin Most Powerful, come to the church. And we pray for you. We pray that God will bless you and protect you and your ministry. So I want to thank both of you for coming on the Terry and Jesse Show and sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just want to, again, say to people, especially with Father Frank Pavone's Priest for Life, support them. They need your support. This is coming up to a big election, and we need to protect the unborn babies. Because you know what's going to happen, Father? Correct me if I'm wrong. When we meet God and we please get to heaven, isn't it reasonable to think that babies that you saved will be there?
That's right. They sure will.
All right. Hey, Father Charles Murr, what state should we be living in?
The wonderful, marvelous state of sanctifying grace.
Amen. And Father Frank Pavone, what state shouldn't we be living in? See if he gets
mortal that sin.
You got it. Hey, these guys have been here before. I want to thank all of you who support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't forget, confessions tomorrow for 6 hours or more at the Sacred Heart Chapel. I got several priests here, and we want you to come, because the merciful face of Christ is waiting for me to go and for you to go. So join us at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. I'll be there all day, and I brought bottled water. I got shade trees for you. Because we're going to do it right. We're going to do social distancing at 126 South 5th Street in Covina, California. May God richly bless you and your family. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, full sheen ahead, because we need to continue to fight the good fight, because we know life is short and eternity is forever. God bless.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.